Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Around the world, the Jewish world certainly is dealing with various aspects of anti-Semitism. How do we deal with it? Well, Dr. Gary Brampman is an author. He's a cosmetic and plastic surgeon. He lives in Victoria in Texas. So what is happening there? How are they dealing with anti-Semitism in that part of the world?
You can lower.
A very good morning. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I am very good. What time is it there, firstly?
Here it is, 11:17 p.m.
All right. Well, thank you for staying up to chat to us here in Johannesburg. You know, there's in all parts of the world, obviously, wherever there's a Jewish community, we're dealing with various aspects of anti-Semitism. And we thought it's a great idea to chat to you. You've been quite involved in this aspect of life there. First of all, give us some context. What is the community like? What is the Jewish community like in Texas?
Well, it's interesting. As you, I'm sure, are aware, Texas is a very big state.
Sure.
And very, from, you know, Dallas to Corpus Christi, where we're on the ocean in one place and it snows in another. So in Texas, there's, surprisingly to a lot of people, about 180,000 Jews.
Wow.
I'm in a small community of about 80,000 people, but there have been Jews in my community since 1849.
So 80,000 people, 80,000 Jews is more than the Jewish population of the whole of South Africa. So,
exactly.
To give that some kind of a context.
Uh-huh.
Right. And it's, you're saying Jews have been in that region since when?
Oh, so, well, in my particular city, Jews arrived in 1849.
Amazing. So it's certainly a long history.
Texas, you know, mm-hmm. there were Sephardic Jews who came over with the conquistadors, and several of them stuck around. So there have been Jews here the way before Texas was Texas. Before Texas was Texas, there were Jews living in what was then under Spanish rule.
Mm-hmm. And the majority of the Jewish community there, aside from what you just mentioned, would be Ashkenaz in the form of the what we understand to be standard American Jewry, really.
Yeah, at present time, certainly the most recent immigration were those of Ashkenazi Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, there were a lot of Sephardic Jews there with Hispanic names.
Right. Very, very interesting. So in terms of anti-Semitism, how much of a concern is it?
A major concern.
Yeah, tell us.
Yeah, I would have to say that for any Jew or any human who doesn't really appreciate the severity of the increase of anti-Semitism, either they're naive or they're in denial. I mean, anti-Semitism, as we know statistically, is at an all-time high presently.
Right. And is the main protagonist the far right, or would it be left? So, for example, here in South Africa, the bigger challenge that we have with anti-Semitism comes from the left, not the right. Whereas it might have been that in the past, it isn't that anymore.
Yeah, I think that the domination of anti-Semitism by the alt-right has faded considerably, and their competition now for anti-Semitism is from the alt-left, from the BDS supporters,
correct,
from the the Palestinian movements, as well as, unfortunately now, even there's the Black Hebrew Israelites, which are joining, which is kind of interesting. You take the Black Hebrew Israelites, the alt-left, the alt-right, and the Palestinian people, and they all don't like each other, but yet they found a common denominator to hate.
Right, right. What my friend of my friend, an enemy of my something is
here. Yeah. Right, an enemy of my enemy is my friend.
There we go. And of course, we also know that far right and far left meet anyway. So it's a bit of a misnomer that they're moving in different directions. They actually move very, very much.
When Louis Farrakhan is hanging around with David Duke, you know we got a problem.
No, I think we know that they've got a problem, which is something completely different. Yeah. So how are you dealing with it in your neck of the woods?
Well, from a particular viewpoint, I deal with it by being part of an organization called Israel Now, which basically is based in Toronto, but I do a lot of the work for them out of South Texas. We also simulcast with Israel, plus just going to the Israeli American conference, reading, being proactive. I do write articles. In our little town of Victoria, Texas, about 20 years ago, our synagogue, which was built in 1923, was desecrated with swastikas, expletives about the Jews, you know, in a little town of South Texas. You know, it was interesting that even here, and then close to us is Houston and San Antonio, both of which cities have had their synagogues threatened over the past year. So, you know, no place where there are Jews seems to be devoid of anti-Semitism. And more interesting than those lines is apparently the highest incidence of anti-Semites done by a survey by the Defamation League is in Indonesia. And most Indonesians have never met a Jew. And yet anti-Semitism is flagrantly prolific in Indonesia.
Absolutely astounding. Why do you think that is? I mean, is that just going back to the age-old question or one of the most ancient prejudices? Or is this about Israel misinformation as well?
I think the new anti-Semitism has become disguised as anti-Zionism. I mean, you know, a Zionist, basically in my interpretation definition, is merely a person who has some sort of connection or patriotism or nationalism with the state of Israel. So to deny the homeland of the Jewish people is denying the Jewish people what they have had and what they deserve. So by definition, to be an anti-Zionist is to be an anti-Semite.
Mm. In terms of American politics, we've got the so-called squad, which who continue to do as much damage as possible. But how seriously are they taken?
Well, you know, unfortunately, whether they're taken seriously or not by the Jewish populace, they're an influence on malleable youth, the young liberals and progressives. And most of us, when we were younger, were progressive liberals.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like Winston Churchill said, if you're not a liberal when you're 30, you don't have a heart. If you're not a conservative when you're 50, you don't have a brain. You know, I think that's so, unfortunately, Ilhan Omar and Tlaib, you know, they're having a very strong influence on the voting youth, those college students. And unfortunately, a lot of the younger anti-Semites, they too have never really been confronted with Jews, but yet they're anti-Semitic. And the old tropes, like you mentioned, you know, we have too much power, we have too much money, we have too much excess. Well, I mean, I wish we had nearly the amount of power
absolutely.
They think we have.
Oh,
I'd love to have that power.
Yeah, me too, combination power and money. But I read recently that Ilhan Omar said she had no idea that this was even an anti-Semitic thing.
So how could she say, you know, referring to the Jews and the Benjamins and not realize, unless if she's just the most genius person in the world and she invented the concept of money and anti-Semitism being a trope. Unless if she came up with it independently, I don't give her that much credit. I have to feel that either she's delusional or she's lying, and I won't choose which one it is.
Right, well, I think we can, because she has a bit of a track record. But and in terms of the damage done by people like Kanye West, is that significant, or is he just determined to be a bit of a, I don't know, lunatic?
Well, I think that certainly, I think to the surprise and delight of most of us Zionists, that he certainly was penalized for his commentary by losing a lot of endorsements, by getting a lot of bad press. But, you know, I was speaking to someone who's a very strong young female Zionist, and she said, he's not anti-Semite, he's just stupid. I mean, you know, where does he get – he knows better. He knows that Jews are not in control of sports, in control of the banks. You know, it's interesting that the conservatives don't like us because we are the communists like Trotsky and like Marx. Well, the liberals don't like us because we're all a bunch of conservatives like Rothschild, so we can't win. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of, and
caught
I think
in the
that's,
middle.
You know, Kanye West, he just, you know, just jumped on the bandwagon that was laid out for him. He's certainly not very original. So, you know, your comment question earlier regarding why there's a upsurge in anti-Semitism, you know, I think one of the reasons for anti-Semitism or excuses is that the attention is given to the victims, and trans are victims, and gays are victims, and Black Lives Matter are victims, and the poor Palestinians are victims. Jews never look at themselves as victims. Right. We look at themselves as survivors. Somebody who got out of Auschwitz and weighed 75 pounds and had whooping cough didn't consider himself a victim. He or she considered himself a survivor. So we don't get the attention that goes to all of those other groups who like to claim victimhood. We don't claim victimhood, we claim survivorhood.
And that's where we leave it, Dr. Gary Brampman. He's an author, cosmetic and plastic reconstructive surgeon specialist in Victoria, Texas, talking to us from that region.